This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. It's Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton, and the big fella, Wendell Saylor. We do the show thanks to our mates at Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. And boys, we've got a man on the line that is a great friend of ours here at Triple M and at the Dead Set Legends, Anthony Seibold. How are you feeling, Seibs? How are you going, brother?
Yeah, pretty good, Gus. Thanks for having us on this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on, mate. And of course, we've been on the journey with you and sending you lots of love over the journey. A lot of people would be wondering how you're going now. It's been a week or so since the announcement. You've been able to get away a little bit. You know, how are you going at the moment?
I'm pretty good, Gus. It was really good to get away and clear the head. I went out to a good mate of mine I went to boarding school with. He's got a couple of properties out in central Queensland, out past Claremont. So, went out there, did a bit of mustering and dumped in a helicopter around the properties and all that sort of stuff. So it was a really good opportunity to get away and I suppose get off the phone for 5 or 6 days and just enjoy sort of getting back to basics, really.
Well, let's be honest here. We've been best mates since about 8. Like, so I think you went to Cookie's property. Cookie's an absolute champion. You went to school with at St. Brendan's. Mate, can I ask what sort of stuff you were doing on the property, mustering and that? Because I know you do work, but you're more
you
sort
saying,
of brains.
You're saying he's not sort of more, you don't think he's hands-on?
The manual labour.
Yeah, we used to live together for like 3-4 years. He can't be hands-on. What sort of stuff were you doing there, please, Anthony?
Yeah, no. Well, to be fair, I'm not much of a farmhand. I must say that. Pretty much all I was doing, and I had a pretty easy job. They don't muster with horses anymore, so I was literally on a four wheeler, along with two other mates, and then we had the helicopter pilot come in, and he does most of the work. Really, what all we had to do was get the outliers and that sort of stuff. But it was really good because I was way out of my comfort zone. There's no doubt about that. So I really enjoyed it.
Hey, Sims, let me ask you this. I know a couple of years ago I've been really proud of you and even to this day, you know, like, you know, I was just telling you to hold on and do what you got to do, not just for you, but obviously your beautiful three girls and Holly, who were all, you know, very tight. But, mate, your coaching journey started 2005. I think you went to Wales. So you went, like, Wales, Mackay Cutters, Melbourne Storm. Mate, you've been everywhere, mate. So you know, people that said to me, oh, look, I don't know if he's earned the right to coach the Broncos and that, but, mate, you've certainly done your apprenticeship.
Yeah, it was a pretty long apprenticeship, Wendell. As you know, sort of, I was a bit of a journeyman as a player, but I finished playing over in the Super League, come back to Australia, started teaching then and lecturing at university, and then got an opportunity to go over with a guy called John Dixon, yep. You know well from the Broncos. He was one of the coaching staff members there at the Bronx, and it started back then. So I think when I got the South Sydney role, I think I had worked for 12 years full-time as a professional coach. So, it was a pretty long apprenticeship. And obviously the last couple of years have been quite interesting. There's been some really good highs and some challenges in more recent times.
Steve, Stu Bolton here. I'm interested to know your appetite for coaching. Do you see yourself as a career coach? And now that the dust has settled a little bit, what's your thoughts about stepping into another role down the track?
Yeah, Jude, I think, investing, 15 years, as a coach, it's something I'm really passionate about. Mm. Obviously, the last couple of months have been really challenging. There's no doubt about that. But that hasn't sort of hurt my appetite to coach or want to coach, going forward and in whatever role or capacity that is. I'm still uncertain at the moment. I sort of, my first priority is have a really good break and have a bit of a mental freshen up, because obviously, as you know, Jude, it doesn't matter whether it's AFL or rugby league or super rugby, the life of a head coach or an assistant coach is there's plenty of ups and downs there and a lot of workload. So, just having a bit of a break at the moment, but it hasn't hurt my appetite to coach and serve others.
So when you've had the chance to be with mates, and nothing quite like having that break. It's going to obviously take you a little bit longer to get through all the mental stuff that they're throwing at you. Do you actually watching the footy on the weekend? Like, are you a fan of the game?
Oh yeah, I'm a really big fan of the game. Yeah, my love of footy started, I reckon, would have been 5 or 6 when Dad took me down to Rocky Brothers, which is the local junior team that I played for as a kid and Dad played for. So, I've loved rugby league since I was a little boy. I've loved all sports, actually. I didn't watch any footy last weekend, Gus, because we were in the middle of nowhere. We were 4 hours outside of Claremont and, had no reception or anything like that. I watched a little bit of the footy last night, bits and pieces on Thursday night. But, I'll watch the footy. That sort of hasn't hurt my love of the game, what I've sort of been through.
it's been obviously an incredibly tough year for the Broncos, but Gattoni Staggs, I want to ask you about his trajectory as a player. I mean, he's just having an incredible year.
Oh, he's a fantastic young guy. He's from a country town called Wellington, just outside of Dubbo in New South Wales there. He's been with the Broncos since he was 13 or 14. Simon Scanlon, who runs the elite player development program, found him there. He's a fantastic young guy. Really enjoy coaching him. I think he's got a very rewarding career in front of him. He could do anything in the game. He really could. I think everyone's seen glimpses of what he can do on both sides of the footy, the last two seasons. So, his development individually has been a real positive for the Broncos.
Seems, I know you're a student of the game, and people forget sometimes to get to where you are, you always think about the grassroots. Like when you had the job at the Mackay Cutters, I used to fly home and see Mum during the season, and you say to me, "Oh, mate, if you get a chance, can you drop in and work with our back three and that?" And I say, "Yeah, mate, no problems." And I'd throw on a little jersey or something and do a bit of contact with the boys. So you're always thinking about the juniors. Even I think when you're the Queensland 18s or 16s coach, you said, "Can you come in before you commentate and just offer the boys some support and tell them about your journey in Queensland?" I think one of the jerseys I had to give out was Joe Offengowie. You know, those young kids coming through. Valentine Holmes, you coached those guys through that system as well, didn't you?
Yeah, certainly. The Queensland Cup experience was really good. I coached Mackay, who didn't have a lot of resources. So it was literally about the grassroots. And the Cowboys used to send back their non-NRL players to the team. But it was a really good experience. And, Wendell, you came in and did quite a bit whenever you came back to Mackay, But I think it's really important that, you do that and others who have achieved so much in the game. You've got to remember where you come from. So that's why we were really pleased that you came to do that. And with the Queensland Junior stuff, I think it's good for them to look up to people who have gone before them and left a legacy. Regardless of what level you play for Queensland, it's a special moment when they get their jersey. So to have guys like yourself and Petro Sivanaseva and Brent Tate, those types of guys all come in at different times whilst I was, coaching those emerging Queensland teams. And, the players they loved it because, when they were little kids, you've got to understand that they were sort of watching you guys run around on the TV for Queensland. So, it's pretty special for those guys.
Certainly is. Now, Siebes, we've got a competition on our hands. We've got Penrith, Melbourne, Parramatta, the Roosters and Canberra. They're the top five at the moment. You've got Newcastle, South and Cronulla making up the eight. And you'd probably think, unless the Warriors can jump the Sharkies, the eight is set. From your position, you've played them all this year. Who do you reckon is the best of those sides that are going for this competition this year?
Yeah, well, I think Roosters and Melbourne, just their consistency, not just this season, but over the last couple of seasons, sort of holds them in good stead. I think when everyone's on deck there at the Roosters, they're going to be really tough to beat. I think they've got wonderful experience, got, great talent and ability, very good coaching staff there. So, them and Melbourne, obviously, there or thereabouts. And I suppose in some ways, maybe the surprise package, probably for some is Penrith. I think they've won 12 in a row now. They've been big improvers this year. Last year they went through some challenges, themselves. I remember watching one night there where maybe West Tigers put 60 on them at Suncorp Stadium at the Magic weekend. So, the job that Ivan has done there from last season to this season has been outstanding. And their players, mostly have been developed within that system. So it's a full credit to them. So, those three teams in particular, I think, are really well set for the end of the season.
It seems, there's a lot of Broncos old boys that have come out and talked about the game and where it's at, and especially at the Broncos. But one thing I noticed this year too, not just because you're the coach in that, but I've never seen the Broncos have like 15 or 16 players injured in one year. Is it not something that we're doing? Is it just unlucky? What do you reckon it is?
I think luck does play a little part in that, because they haven't been... Most of those injuries haven't been, soft tissue injuries. They've been like ACLs and...
Yeah.
Collision injuries, just give you an example, Tommy Flegler, who's just had a shoulder, was about to have a shoulder reconstruction and so on. So, it's been, quite challenging. I think, half the sort of salary cap was out even on, Thursday night against Penrith. So that's been probably a common theme since we come back from COVID after a really positive start. I don't think anyone would have seen, the season going like it did, after a really positive start, winning our first two games. We just didn't get things right and didn't have all the group available post COVID resumption. But sometimes that's the way it goes. But I think there's plenty of good times ahead. For the Broncos, there's a group of young guys. I've been around to a few different clubs. But there's a real good core group of young players there who could do anything in the game. And most importantly, they're good young men away from footy, and they work really hard. So they'll get their rewards. But, you know, yep. It's just one of those things. Yeah, you see, you know, Jude, with the Swans at the moment, where they're at, you know what I mean? Like, they had sustained success for so long, and things go in ebbs and flows. It's probably just, unfortunately, the Broncos probably haven't had to go through something like they are at the moment. But, you know, they'll kick again. I've got great faith in those young blokes. You know, and you know, Wendell, you know, privately, you know, I've spoken to you about that group. You know, they've got some special times there. There's no doubt about that.
One thing I like about Siebes also, not just because he's you know, a head coach, but even like my young bloke, because my young bloke gets a taste of it, then they hold him back, that he gets a taste of it. And then I actually asked Siebes, what going forward, you as a coach, what do you look for? And what I didn't really realise is him and Tristan stay in touch. So Tristan doesn't tell me that much, but Matty John stays in touch. But Anthony, his advice is always good, because Anthony, when we were living together, you'll find this funny, boys. He'd go to university, train, go to university. I would train, and then I'd go down to the gym.
Really?
Or just do coaching clinics.
Wow. Is that right? Yeah. Doing cashies and so forth.
No,
Anthony's actually just advancing his future and educating people.
No, and actually, he used to be the chef. He used to be the chef. And then
there's a shock.
And I'd have to clean up. So I was happy to do that, but and I was great at it.
Was he a mess to live with?
The food wouldn't have been that good, mate. It would have been pretty simple. It would have been steak and
potatoes. We used to go steak, sausages and that, and then another night it was pasta, and then it was sizzler. Or then it was down to the Leagues Club, because I used to work for the Broncos, so we'd go down there.
You get a freebie.
No, I wouldn't be freebie. Yeah.
Seems, that household, though, he's literally a small doses type of man, surely. You wouldn't be able to put up with him too often, would you?
No, well, we had other people in the place, yeah. So I could get some time with them and have a chat with them. But no, it was really good. It was great fun. Really, you know, remember my time as a young bloke at the Broncos playing the lower grades really fondly. We had a good group of guys. And just to see, you know, some of your mates, like Wendell and even, you know, guys like Brad Thorne and
Chris McKenna came through that system.
There was a real you know, a lot of those guys went on to play for Australia. You know, so, you know, someone who you know, was there as they were developing, you know, I was really proud of those guys to go on and see what they did in the game.
This week we've obviously learnt that you're handing over three NRL sort of identities to the NRL Integrity Unit. I mean, there's so many extra pressures on coaches. Did you ever believe there'd be some sort of online smear campaign that you'd have to deal with during your coaching tenure?
No, not at all, dude. No, that sort of was something that, you know, when you come through as a you know, coaching, you know, in the lower grades or an assistant coach or whatever, you don't expect anything like that. You know, that sort of certainly hit myself and those closest to me for six. But, with regard, you know, there's been a lot of speculation, with regards to names and who and so on. You know, we had my solicitor engaged a cyber investigation crew who were based overseas to do some work on the the internet stuff. We've given the information to the Queensland Police and the NRL Integrity Unit. And really, I can't sort of say too much more than that. But it's not about me trying to be petty. I'm certainly not looking for any civil defamation. We don't even know, you know, the likelihood of criminal charges on anybody. But I think, and Aaron Mullins really encouraged me in this space. She's been brilliant over the last 2 weeks. Similar things happened to her. But what we're trying to do is get some change, because the legislation's quite weak. And the Federal Minister for Communications, Paul Fletcher, the E-Security Commissioner, Julie Inman, amongst others, have come out and said, we need to make some change. And I know Aaron met with the Prime Minister during the week to talk further about the legislation change. It's on its way. And if there is a little legacy that I can leave from a really, I suppose, debilitating situation with regards to the slurs on social media, is that we get some legislation changed so people can be made more accountable going forward, and it just doesn't happen to somebody else in the future. That's what this is about.
Well, I reckon you're fighting the good fight, Siebes, because I know with Jude too, like, I mean, that was one thing, but also if you post something, I reckon you've got to be accountable for it. And there's got to be a link to it where, mate, if you want to say something like that's been going around about you, because I remember I called you and didn't want to harass you, but also Holly, you know, just for Holly and the three girls, I was shattered. But even Jude texted me a couple of weeks ago, and there was that social media post of the young Indigenous player from the Swans that he got. I'm sick of it, because Luttrell's got it time and time again. So it's not just that's a twofold, it's a racism thing. And just young people now, they just think they can post things, or older people, and there's no accountability. So you're fighting the good fight, mate, and I respect that.
And that's what it's about. It's about something bigger than just my situation, but just, you know, having some sort of profile as being an NRL head coach or an ex-NRL head coach now, you know, along with with people like Aaron Mullen, if we can sort of be a bit of a voice for change, then I reckon that's a positive thing.
You're absolutely right. I spoke to Erin when she was down in Canberra about exactly the same thing, and she's certainly fighting the good fight. Look, it's been wonderful to have a chat to you on Dead Set Legends. You know you've got our absolute support here, mate, and you know stuff in the papers saying you're already signed up at Newcastle Knights. At some stage, we'll have you back in the game whenever you're fresh enough to do it, mate, and we really, really appreciate your time on the Dead Set Legends, and lots of love to you and your family from us.
Good on you, Gus. Yeah, great to talk to you guys. Thanks for all your support, too.
There you go. Anthony Seibold here on the Dead Set Legends. More coming up in just a second.